It is now 7 o'clock. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette.
Here.
Co-Chair Lennon. Commissioner Cadleck. Commissioner Avalos.
Here.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Here.
Student Commissioner Steerwalt. We have four voting members present. We do have a quorum. First item of business is public comment. There is nobody on the Zoom and nobody in person, so we will move along to adoption of the January 13th meeting minutes.
I move we adopt.
Second.
Motion by Co-Chair Lennon, second by Commissioner Avalos. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
All right, 4-0. The minutes are adopted. We will move on to commissioner updates if anyone has anything.
I do. A couple things. This document, I had nothing to do with. I just wanted to share it with you because it is the contribution of an eighth grader at Roosevelt. Mm. And I think it's awesome. And this is after I met in January. When I came back in February, they had prepared this, which is wonderful. And I think this student and the group there, as World Migratory Bird Day approaches, would be willing to do more work like this. So whatever we might need in terms of flyers or artwork, you know, is right here, stuff to put on the website or what have you. So I just wanted to share that. Also, we have a date for one of the World Migratory Bird Day events with the library. It looks like we've got a slot Thursday, May 28th, which is the Thursday after Memorial Day. It's the soonest we could get in for a book discussion. Oh, I need to bring the book. So I volunteered to lead a book discussion, and the library will assemble as many copies as they can and publicize the event and, see if we can get some people in the room there to just talk about it. And the book is by Karen Cooper, Citizen Science. It's the one that's highlighted by the Environment for America, is the organizing group. And I haven't yet figured out exactly what the readings will be, but by March 13th, I need to have that to the library. And then y'all can take a look if you'd like and come talk about it. And hopefully we'll get some turnout for that. So that's one event. Thursday, May 28th, 7 p.m. at the River Forest Public Library. The book that we're going to use, for sure, I can tell you, Karen Cooper, Cooper's the last name, Field Guide to Citizen Science. They're going to have hard copies available. I believe it's also something you can get on the library's e-book platform, Hoopla. So that's
two events planned, two set dates.
Sorry?
So we have two events planned.
Well, I guess we have the big sit. I don't know when that's going to happen.
I don't either. I didn't hear back from Adam.
Okay. So the other event is an outdoor event where we actually go look for birds. And this is going to be hosted in conjunction with the Forest Preserve. Adam Kessels got what they call a big sit, where a bunch of folks, instead of walking around in the woods, they sit in lawn chairs and they watch the birds come to them. Ideally. So it's, I call it boomer birding. But younger people can do it too. No, it's actually a kind of a nice way to focus your powers of observation instead of always moving, and you see things that you might not otherwise see. So we're waiting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that Saturday, but we just have to verify that. I reached out and he didn't respond, so
You,
I'll try.
which Saturday?
Isn't it May 9th?
What's that mean?
May
Oh, you
9th.
think it's that?
I do.
The isn't that Mother's Day? That's
It's a Saturday, Mother's Day.
okay. Yeah. So that's two events, and I think that's already pretty good. And over the month of May, and we might be able to coordinate with Chicago, formerly Chicago Audubon, in some capacity on for the big sit or something else. The other update I was going to offer is at least at D90, thanks to Mr. Cadleck, on the faculty there, it looks like the administration is going to let us get up on the roof at least once, perhaps several times during the summer. And I suspect we may see some birds. I don't know about you guys. I'll be talking to you next week. So that's all I have
So is
to.
that another like big sit? You'll sit up there and see what you see?
No, I
No.
think that's more of a very targeted walk around and try not to step on anything, kind of thing. The Roosevelt Environmental Club has also offered to fundraise if we need anything. They're good at that, and I suggested that we think about maybe getting some kind of trail cam. Think about that for this purpose or maybe future projects.
Commissioner Hoyt, after you just brought up an idea, now February's going too fast, so maybe this is next year thing for birds, World Migratory Bird Day, but a collaboration. I don't know if you know, when you walk in the library, on the accessible entrance side with the ramp, there's that display of art. I wonder if we can partner with them and maybe an art class at the middle school or elementary school and do like a cross collaboration and make birds and things that symbolize birds migratory.
I think that's a great idea. I'm not familiar with that entrance, so I'll have to take a look. But that's something I could, yeah. I mean, we could start talking about that.
Yeah, I'll
Just
reach out.
we have to do this every couple of years, you know, so it's good to have new ideas coming. Thank you.
There is a chickadee that's going up on the second floor on the wall overlooking the baseball field. It's like a I work across the street at Little Bits, and it's a painted canvas and then a like a paper collage of a chickadee. I think that's we have other the other ones are there's a butterfly, monarch butterfly.
Where is this?
It will be go it's created, but it will be going up at the library.
Oh,
Second floor
okay.
overlooking the field.
Inside? That's awesome. Permanent or temporary?
Permanent.
Oh.
Yeah. We have other works there and we're just adding to our
Okay, I need to look around because I'm.
Yeah, it's not up yet. So, I mean, it's created, but it's not up.
Okay, yeah. Manolo, if you'd like to sort of maybe think about that a little more and
We can talk after this about and
Hey Dave, I think this is really neat. And my question is, can we some way we could I don't know what else the other kids did, but is there something we could leverage with the proclamation? Maybe when the proclamation comes out, I assume it's coming out in the newsletter, right? If we
Yeah,
put
so
something out like this with it and give the
yeah,
kids
that
the
was
credit.
actually going to be my sort of ask is if there was a digital copy of this that we could use for like a social media post and say that like in terms of like the for the lights out, I was targeting that second week of March to put something out on social media as it's the start of the migratory bird season and even note we don't have to name the person but saying that this was developed by a Roosevelt Middle School eighth grader to raise awareness. I think if I were to ask them to produce some supporting material, either this or maybe some other stuff too, I think they'd be delighted.
I think it'd be neat to put a package like that as part of what we put out.
Yeah, especially sort of student generated.
You're right.
So if you want, I'll go back and ask. I'll suggest that. I didn't think about that. So, do you have like a, when would you like them to shoot for in terms of, if I were to say, hey, the village would like, some supporting,
Maybe by that first weekend in March. So if I could have it sent over, like if I have it by March 9th, Monday, March 9th, then, or no, sorry, yeah. Yep, just making sure I'm looking at the right dates. Monday, March 9th, then we can have it run that Friday as part of the newsletter and that Saturday on social media. And I believe in the proclamation, the official time for our Lights Out proclamation starts that following Sunday. Yes, March 15th.
Would you be able to use, I mean, this is kind of information intense. Would you be able to use this for the small little newsletter format?
Yes.
Okay. It
Yep.
would be sort of a special issue, maybe, kind of
Yeah. This would
full of
be,
bird information.
I would want to use like this as like an graphic or an image and then have a short blurb underneath. So I think I could definitely use
Okay.
something like this.
This student, I think, has an eye. So you would like supporting material on the Lights Out, the World Bird, the Proclamation.
And then, yeah, any other information I can sort of develop and add onto the website if it's more sort of intensive and.
There is a little typo. I don't know if the student already
I did
found
see a
that.
few, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
They'll
we'll
clean those up.
And the other thing is, if we're going to use this for the village, at least the first box is a little specific to Roosevelt. Is that something we
I
would be?
think it's fine because it's from the middle school.
Okay.
I mean, this is a middle schooler showing support.
Yeah,
Thank you. That
this
to
would
me.
be, I'd want to highlight that for sure.
Yeah,
Yeah.
specifically shown that this was developed by a Roosevelt middle schooler
In
to
the
help raise awareness.
right, in the environmental club.
Yep.
Yeah. There. So March 9th, you said you wanted?
March 9th would be
Okay.
perfect.
And is there like what do you like, two or three things of these dimensions, like, or whatever?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. And
Okay.
send me what you got. I can
Okay.
filter through it and yeah.
It would
Okay.
also be nice to get this over to the elementary schools. I don't know who heads the Go Green there now, but
What's that?
it would also be nice to get this over to the elementary schools in D90.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe, I don't know if Corey Cadillac knows who leads those now.
Well, so he's not the he doesn't the person in charge of the environmental club is a different instructor,
Gotcha.
but I'm sure once we have and they have this stuff, they'll
Send it.
put it up all over the place. So,
Well, he's doing that. Just one thing. I sent everybody that one article on the red light district. I thought
Yeah, I saw that.
that was neat. And I just think it's something that we keep kind of in our brains a little bit. So as we're working on so many things, so if Dave's acres end up going in across over here, it's the kind of thing you want to consider putting that and making that a part of it. And not just for the obviously the habitat reasons, but it also becomes part of the educational process, so why is there red lights here and that kind of stuff. So that's why I kicked it out, just something to keep in the forefront.
I think that was, yeah, great. I was very surprised that that's been done. So yeah, Seth, I don't know, just
May want to change what we call it. Red light district probably doesn't fit well, but
well, we could, yeah, we could. I think amber is also acceptable. Other shades, but yeah, that some kind of demonstration of that would be great.
We've sort of jumped into the first agenda item already. I didn't know if anybody else had any sort of unrelated updates they wanted to get out, or if we should just continue into this.
I can give a quick update on what's going on with OPRF right now. So we've been, as you guys probably know, the Nighthawk project, talking to them about trying to get on the roof. We have sent emails to the school. I don't think I've gotten a response back yet, but hopefully get that in a couple of days if we can go on the roof for the Nighthawk thing. We just posted a form on Google Classroom or on just the browser that everyone uses for school to gauge interest for the project. It seems like there are a lot of people that are going to be interested, so that's great. I don't know if you guys have any opinions or anything you want me to like pass along to them, if you have any ideas on how we want to execute this, but everything seems to be going really smoothly right now.
How'd you
But
describe it to
great.
the kids? What'd you say the project was?
I said it was gonna be both an education, also like just kind of like a fun over the summer way. We're gonna just go around, assess both Oak Park and River Forest, if I'm correct, right? Whether or not there's nighthawks or any like unique or interesting birds that we didn't know existed here. And especially we want to go on the roof and try to do some unique stuff to make this like a fun experience.
So I guess that's another thing I update. I have sort I've been trying to kind of give some definition to the project, the protocols. And so I've been speaking with some people that have run these kinds of things and kind of narrowed it down. What we would be doing on the rooftop, whether D90 or OPRF, would be looking for nests, nesting birds, chicks. And it would run from early, or for basically June through mid-July. And so 6 weeks. And what we would need to do, or I would do, with whoever wanted to help, is kind of set up some specific sites where we have confirmed observations of this bird that would we to which we would assign a monitor, and then we would have a random basket of sites that are just selected to sort of give some coverage to the name, to the area to which others would be assigned. And depending on how many people we have, we would develop a schedule. The observation period would be about 45 minutes to an hour, starting at sunset. So, like at that time of year, it might be like 7 o'clock to eight, something like that. And then we would have sort of, we'd write up some kind of report sheet that would ask for the observer to indicate calls, sightings, behavior, all that kind of stuff. So we'll talk about this when I see you guys next week. So it'll be all kind of laid out. You'll have instructions. You know when you need to get there, when you're done, what to write down. And we will, our job will be to figure out where to send you guys. As far as the roofs, that's most likely as exciting as that is. That's probably going to be a very limited number of people. Yeah. And we, if we go up more than once, we can sort of rotate that through. But
I know you might have experienced this, but the roof is very not sure about Roosevelt, which it probably is too, because it's old, but OPRF is very compact. There's a lot of stuff up there on the roof. But I have some I have some knowledge that I can share later with you both.
okay.
Yeah, I'm happy to help, Dave, if you need it. Just let me know.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think I think it'd be nice. Everybody that wants to participate, it'd be great if they could. So, but just to give so just to give a some definition to the project, that's kind of what it is. 6 weeks in that portion of the summer. And I'll have a some instructions later, hopefully by March sometime.
Because we're dealing with, high school kids, do we need any kind of liability sign-offs or anything like that for this?
Probably for the rooftop thing, yeah, for us too, right? Like if you or I go up there. So I'm assuming that Mr. Cadleck, who's pushing, pushing this through with the administration, is going to get
All that
from
information.
them
Okay.
what they need. Do we need to wear a hard hat, sign a waiver? Do kids need to be with a certain number of adults? What are the rules? How close can we get to the edge or whatever? So we'll figure all that out.
I'm hoping we'll get more information about that too when I get a response from the head of like all that kind of directory stuff with the roof. I'm hoping that with the response, you can tell us if there's any forms or anything we need to fill out. But until then, I don't think we really know too much.
Does Miss is Miss Wong like part
Yeah,
of that whole thing?
she's part of that. I didn't put her on the email, but she was the one who told me I should write to the guy. I forget what his name is, but who runs the whole operation.
Arbogast.
Yes.
Or someone.
But yeah,
Okay.
someone in that whole Jetosphere.
You guys, the environmental club over there, have worked with him before, right? You know who he is. Sounds like with the garden and
Yes, I've worked with everyone there.
he knows you
So,
exist, right?
yes.
I mean the
I
club.
hope they still know we you
Yeah.
guys exist.
Hopefully.
Okay. All right. All right. So then, unfortunately, Chris is resigned. But before he went, he gave us some draft documents.
Yes, yeah, quite a bit of information that really sets us up. Some of the draft proclamation stuff, I had more pulled from the sort of direct sources for these draft proclamations from the World Migratory Bird Day website and from really Oak Park's and City of Chicago's Lights Out proclamation and Lights Out informational website for Chicago. But I did sort of pick and choose a little bit from what he had provided as well. And then, yeah, he did send along the sort of updated calendar and action items and a lot of those things as well that I did save myself. I have not had a chance to go through in great detail, but I know that sort of the next two items up to sort of kick off the sort of public-facing aspects of this project were the World Migratory Bird Day Proclamation, which is required every year as part of the designation, and then the Lights Out Proclamation, which is really tied to the action items on raising awareness and trying to reduce light pollution. So I put these drafts out. I did include both the spring and fall migratory bird time frames for that one. The Migratory Bird Day one, I'd really just taken what they had provided, maybe tweaked a few words here and there, but plugged in the date. But that was basically the format and template provided from through the Bird City network that linked to the World Migratory Bird Day, .org official website.
So can we kind of all collectively maybe take a, we'll take some time between now and the next meeting, edit these, just give you any feedback or like, I mean, I know when I met with Chris, I had some suggestions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I could get like some thoughts back to you. Because I mean, this yeah, like the Lights Out obviously was written for Chicago, and their chief concern is high-rise buildings.
Yeah, and that was even mentioned in the Oak Park resolution, and so I just sort of
Yeah.
kept it in there, but
I think we could tailor, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that because that's a big issue, but we could tailor these, to make them more local. That's what I would do when I edit this. So I'll give it a look over. I had two questions for you. Did you get any answer on the honorarium?
I have been scrambling on. I have not had a chance. I don't believe we've ever done anything like that, but I could be wrong and would need to.
Yeah, I'm just thinking. There's a professor, young doctoral student, young PhD down at Champaign-Urbana, who works with this bird, well, this family of birds, and I know has spoken for different bird clubs in Illinois, and I thought it might be neat to bring her up, but if we did, I think we'd have to offer travel. Cover travel expense like $200 or something. I don't know, 150. So if we could come up with that,
Yeah, that's something I need to look
okay.
into.
I just wanted to circle back to something you said. I think it was the third paragraph about Chicago's tall buildings that were you saying that that's something we might want to edit out?
Not edit out,
Okay.
but I would just say these two documents, I would want to tailor them so that people reading it would be like, oh, I'm a homeowner. Yes, tall buildings, but I can also do this to my house and think about this, put amber or red lights in my
So
back.
add more what
Yeah,
a
just
resident could do. Okay.
make it.
Because I think it says something to say that Chicago's done this for
Oh, yeah,
all
for
these
sure.
years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they've set the example. We want to kind of come in and continue the good work because, you know, we know that by the numbers, actually more bird strikes occur in low density residential areas. So we can make a difference.
Hello.
Hey. Item number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in this Lights Out Proclamation. The Village of River Forest continues its efforts to reduce light pollution at village facilities. Is that true?
I might have.
I've been pushing you to kind of see if we can get some concrete
I would need
commitment.
to look into that.
Well, wouldn't this be a good place to start right here? It looks like those shades are open. Just looking over there.
Sorry.
This would be a good place to start.
Close the, yeah.
Yeah, because there are often meetings here at night.
At night, as long as there's no lights in here, when the
Oh, at 11.
Yeah, this room, it's
Dark.
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything that we could get the village to point to and say we're actually doing something, I think that would be neat.
Yeah.
So proclamations are cool, but if there's like one light or that they could turn
But
off.
the garage at Public Works, I think that gets left on sometimes. I've seen dead birds there. So
Something, yeah, I don't know, whatever.
I mean, maybe the way to start would just be to do like an audit, you know, like just do an internal audit to say, you know, what lights are on after 11 p.m. and then see if we can turn them off.
That's just putting it out there. So, yeah, but I'll get you some edits.
All right. So just with timing then for these would likely we recommend them at the next meeting. They would likely be adopted by the board March 23rd.
Even though the proclamation begins March 15th.
That's something I would need to look at. I mean, Oak Park's proclamation, they adopted it in, I think, what does it say? August 15th to November 15th. They adopted it in like late September
Oh, okay.
this last fall.
Okay.
So,
So first year getting off the ground.
yeah. So I think there have, and I think we've had some sort of retroactive proclamations adopted. So I'll confirm that for dates, but we'll have that all set prior to next month's meeting.
Okay.
So, edits to the proclamation, when would you want those deadline for that?
Let me see.
March 9, same with the.
No, because I would need that. I would need it by March 2nd.
For the lights out.
Yeah, for
For both?
if these proclamations were going to be,
Oh, submitted together.
yeah,
To get to the board.
to get to back to have them, I guess, ready for the packet for with final edits for review for the commission. I would need it by
Okay.
March 2nd.
So supporting materials, student generated, whatever, for Lights Out, March 9.
Yep.
Edit any edits we may have to the proclamation for our review by March 2nd. Okay.
And then one more update on this topic. So I met today with the new sustainability coordinator at Oak Park. He had been asking about
There's
the
already a new one.
he started probably this last winter. Yeah, I want to say he started maybe November, December sometime. But this was my first sort of chance to sort of talk at least via Zoom face to face with him. His focus is a lot on green infrastructure and then biodiversity. And he was asking particularly a lot about River Forest efforts for the Bird City designation, and was looking for potential ways of partnership. He had actually noted he was trying to find some ways to encourage citizen science in Oak Park and was building out something. I think he called it a bio blitz. And that I think it sounded like it was going to be sometime late spring, early summer. So like the timing might match up well. I told him I would give him updates for our efforts as we go along, and he would do the same, sending along to me. So fairly productive conversation. We touched base on several other things unrelated to that, but yeah, figured that was a
Good connection,
noteworthy
right?
update to have.
So yeah, that the BioBlitz is sort of a in contrasts with what we're doing in that it takes in everything, whatever people want to identify within a certain area using an online app counts. We're doing a sort of single species, so. But that's great to get people involved in that.
Yeah, and we'd mostly talk about just sort of like cross promotional stuff of, sharing what the other community is doing and working on and ways to sort of get involved across the borders. And yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're already going to be involved in Oak Park, so that's like one step in that direction.
I did not have anything. I guess we'd already discussed the public events. I did not have anything put together for the native plants. I'd have been meaning to work on the broader grant application. I've just not had
Which one?
the ComEd Open Lands one.
Well, you can tell everybody we got in the.
Yes, we did submit the Missouri Prairie Foundation grant application. That was the week after our last month's meeting. So I've not heard anything yet, but I think they had said that's typically awarded, did they say March or April? I thought it was
I don't
March,
recall.
but should hopefully hear word later this spring. Developing a larger application to focus on the areas along Hawthorne, near Thatcher, and then the small area right along Central, the butterfly garden, and really restore the two previous sites, and then hopefully, funds permitting, expand west across Thatcher to the northwest corner, which David had actually drawn up some plans that were part of the application for the Missouri Prairie Foundation grant, which would basically go to acquiring the plants to then be planted at that location, given the limited scope of that grant, which sort of works. It's a currently just a grass site, so it doesn't need sort of this full cleanup, so to speak. But next month is when the Open Lands ComEd grant is due. I've got several other grants I'm working on, so I'm just starting to piece them all together and sort of prioritize what is needed when. I
Can
believe.
I ask for some clarification? I think w when I had spoken with you and Jack, I left that meeting with the impression that we were not going to apply to Open Lands this year. Correct me if I'm wrong, because you wanted to save that for potential use.
So I think we're going to apply both years. This would be focused on these sites. And then, David had come in and met with Jack, our public works director, and I. And then because these grants have to be, the project has to be completed within the year of the application, we are holding off to then apply it towards the site across the street here, during next year's application
But
process.
you're still willing to put in an application this year for to supplement the anything you
Yes.
get from Missouri Prairie for that
Correct.
on a project.
Yep.
Okay. Because yeah, that makes sense, because one of the things I should have shared, like the grant application I put together, which included a budget, and it became looking at the stretch from like the woods to Thatcher and then just adjacent, the $800 that this foundation would have awarded would have covered like a half a dozen shrubs for the far corner. So I think the 10,000 actually could be used. I mean, a good chunk of that could be used in that project there. It's not ridiculous to ask for that. Yeah.
Yes.
So that makes
But
yeah.
wouldn't it decrease the chances of getting a grant for across the street if we rewarded it for that spot?
Would it
Decrease it the following
decrease?
year. I'm just
I mean, I guess that's
possibility.
a possibility. I'm
We've gotten grants in the past from the railroad itself. Do you know, is that something that we can apply for, or is that more just a
we had gotten that. That is, that typically opens up in November.
okay.
There's a lot of extra things that they want people to do to go along with it, public events.
That's the thing that we got last time.
Yes, with the tree planting event we
Yeah.
did last time. There was like this whole community assessment thing I
That's
had to
great.
do. It was, in my personal opinion, more work than what the
And worth it. Yeah.
grant was worth. So, yeah.
Yep, I get that.
Yeah, that's another potential funding source. Yeah, I mean, my thought process is just to sort of go after these grants every year, and just, take the wins where we can get them, if we get them here, if we get them there.
Yeah, I think that.
Obviously, with this project across the street, I think there's bigger grants that it could potentially be eligible for, because there's things like, it's conversion to green space, and
It's a bigger
it's the
conversion.
scope is broader, that there are ways to sort of incorporate the native plants into a broader project or a broader grant application as well.
And I think after talking to you guys too, that open lands might actually like this stretch a little more than that, just because I think we can devote this more entirely to their goal of biodiversity, which is this year's goal. As that's going to be, we don't know what the designer is going to come back with yet,
Yeah.
and we're going
Yeah, and that process, we're just starting put out, it's not RFPs, RFIs, like very sort of informal RFPs to get sort of proposals and cost proposals from different landscape designers. There would then be a public meeting aspect. Public feedback would be incorporated before the ultimate design went forward. So there's still sort of several steps along the way. And yes, as David mentioned, we don't know how much of that would be native plant focused.
All right. Well, when is the due? That's in March, the due date. It's open.
Yes. That is March, I want to say March 20th. It could be March 13th.
Do you need anything from any of us for that grant?
I will ask you guys for a letter of support. This is similar. I think you guys had done one for the other ComEd grant for the fire department last year. So I might actually be, I need to go through this week and sort of triage all the various deadlines and funding resolutions and things like that. I think there will be a funding resolution that goes to the board that this next meeting in February, or funding commitment resolution. But yeah, I'll let
So
you
the
put up.
funding commitment resolution, that's we need that prior to applying for a grant.
Yes. Yes. And I
Oh,
need to.
because there's a matching component.
Correct.
And when it comes time to actually make the proposal in terms of what we want to do, we can kind of, I suppose, if you wanted to, use what I gave you for.
That was my intention
Yeah,
entirely.
okay. All right.
Yeah, and I will likely be reaching out to you to sort of help refine that, and then
Maybe adapt it to their application.
I need to have some discussions internally and maybe even get a sort of quote beforehand from the landscape contractor who's been handling some of our other sites more recently, just to get a more concrete ballpark budget number.
Okay. All right, so I'll wait for you then to take the lead on that as far as like adapting the Missouri Prairie thing to the new application. Okay.
That is all I had for that one. Does anybody else have anything on either the Bird City or the native plants? All right. Moving on, quarterly waste report. This one paints the full picture for calendar year 2025 with the waste data table on the very last page of the packet, and then included some charts. We have had growth from this time last year in number of compost subscribers. It's sort of flattened out the past few months, but that's generally to be expected with the seasonal change. There was a massive spike in waste tonnage this last month with the holiday, so hopefully that goes back down. I have been doing the quarterly and like Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, and then seasonal quarterly fall, summer, winter, spring metrics for compost, waste, and organics. It seems like with the data there, I mean, it's always been weak correlations, but sometimes the correlations just completely disappear. Sometimes new ones appear. So I did note that in that paragraph at the top of the second page. I can continue to track this. It just seems like there's not much correlation between how much people throw away, how much they compost, and how much they recycle.
What, how is the second graph?
The second graph, so that takes the sort of meteorological seasonal months. So June through August is summer.
Okay,
September through
but
November is
it
fall.
just puts
It
it together
shifts it.
differently. Okay.
And
Okay.
before shifting that time, because the winter there's not as much compost being produced and things like that, there were different correlations that I had sort of that were p popping up just simply shifting that 3 month window over a month, I guess, to match the seasons. Then moving on to village project updates. We have the level two EV charging stations at Thatcher up and running. Those are open to the public. The fast chargers over at the Franklin Avenue lot, up one block this way, will be activated, assuming everything goes well, by next Wednesday. So they will be out on Tuesday and Wednesday to do the final steps to turn those on. Still working on the North Avenue lot and had to have some
CVS.
fun emails with the property owner of the CVS building with their delay in their thing.
Are they opposed to it?
No, they're just, it's so CVS is just a tenant in the building. And it's owned by this out-of-state real estate holding company that's just been very non-responsive to the consultant who's been working on the project and trying to get the sort of the I's dotted and T's crossed in terms of the ComEd easement and things like that that were needed. And then I sort of had to step in myself this last week and they actually have responded, just have not given us anything concrete. So, still hoping to get that done over the coming months, but it's been a frustrating delay.
Delay. Has or I should say, how has it been advertised that these charging stations are now available?
So there should be something going up, Village Newsletter and social media this week for this charging station. It is like on the charge point, like the charging maps and stuff. So actually, the morning it got turned on, the installer had to go back out and fix an issue with one of the ports, and we'd still had the barricades up, but a woman was running out of power and had to pull in and charge because she couldn't make it home or to her office, and she need, and
Because she had planned on it.
yes, and she, the this one was occupied at both ports, so she pulled in, just pulled next to sort of the barricades, and then pulled the cord over and plugged in, and the electrician pulls up, and like I had walked over, I was like, I thought, wait, there's one in use and one that's faulted, because I was like looking on the dashboard, because I was like, oh, all right, we're live. And then I was like walked over and I talked to him, and I was like, was there somebody here? He's like, yeah, when I pulled up, there was she was plugged in and charged and gave me the whole story. So
Oh, wow.
but yeah, I've had a few residents call, let them know that they're open. I did have one resident ask, because it's generally permit parking. There's signage that say permit parking only, so we've removed that signage right by the charging stations. We're making it clear that the charging stations do not require a permit.
But you can't leave it there all night.
Correct. Yes, you will get charged.
Ticketed.
Yes, ticketed and
Sure.
charged for the overstay fee. So, but yeah, that is going along. We are meeting this week or next with the firm doing the design for the permeable paver lot here. So we'll have that construction will be later this calendar year. And then the rooftop solar project, it had a little bit of an update of basically just they've been going through the electrical plans, and last I had with them was last week. We signed off on which inverter was being used to connect to the building for the solar panels over there. So it is
Are the solar panels in place?
that they are not
No.
yet.
Okay.
No, they've been purchased. They have not been installed. So
And is there a target date for when that will look all be?
there is something in the contract, and I would need to look up like when it starts. And it was actually the consultant who wanted it in there is like basically once they hit a certain point, they have 130 days to get it done.
Okay.
So
Is
they,
it once all these things have been, all these issues
yeah.
are addressed?
Got batteries with it.
I do not know if there's the storage batteries or if it's just it goes onto the grid with the SRECs, which I believe is the how we're taking, just because the how the credits work that way. And it being a ordinance building, it's covered under the village's franchise agreement. So but yeah, that project is moving along as well.
Is there anything else? I know that you have been spending a lot of time these past few months on the capital plan. Is there anything else of interest to sustainability that was included in there?
Trying to think, I mean, a few years out, we've got additional vehicles identified for electric vehicle replacement, but none of those are this next year. You know, we're as we redo the parking lot here, we'll at least be putting in the conduit to install future EV charging stations, additional EV charging stations here at Village Hall. About a
For the use of the village,
for both the use of the village
public.
and public use. So we'll have sort of a dedicated fleet EV charging area. And then last January, about 13 months ago, we were awarded a federal grant or part of a federal grant to install additional level two chargers here for public use. And then about 2 weeks later, there was a change in administration and everything got frozen. So.
Oh, well.
And I have been seeing like if that grant program has been part of all of the various funding clawbacks, I've not found anything definitive. So I don't know if no news is good news or no news is bad news. So I'm just assuming it's no news is no news. And it's just sort of a contingently planned as part of the capital program if at any point the funding is released.
So the village owns at least one EV right now, right?
Correct.
And do they charge at the
Yes, they charge it
place?
this one.
And then that just gets credited or something like that?
Yeah, so it's how you set it up. The you can set different rules for fleet vehicles as
Okay.
opposed to public vehicles. And then I will. I just sort of penciled in some items for newsletter going forward. And again, a lot of this stuff is just if we don't have anything, I can repeat things like recycle coach or community solar or compost. So we have the Bird City announcement going this week. I was going to try and promote the compost program next week. With I gave myself a week buffer to do an additional EV charging station plug, and I think this might be, changed, move forward based on what ultimately the administrative staff say they might want to promote it sooner. Electronic waste, the lights out program, which hopefully I can upload this graphic right there with it, and that'll be a really fun one. After the election, we will have yard sign recycling. Two of the compost carts right in front will be temporarily converted for a couple weeks, one to accept corrugated plastic yard signs, the other to accept the metal stakes. The battery recycling was something that Trustee Gillis had asked me to put out on social media to provide more clarity. And then I was also going to sort of plug Recycle Coach as part of a what goes where function of that app. April, everything sort of writes itself with all the Earth Month events, Earth Day, Arbor Day. Also put out some advance notice of the leaf blower ordinance. Compost was just a sort of general filler, same for the start of May, same with community solar at the end. But we have migratory bird day, the leaf blower seasonal ban taking effect on May 15th, and then household hazardous waste sign up about a week in advance of that deadline. So everything mapped out for the next few months. Obviously, this is all pretty fluid and can change, especially if anybody has anything. These are all being submitted to the administrative staff and the communications people the Monday to run that Friday, and then on social media that Saturday. So,
Can you bump up the EV station since those are
yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
that they, when you made this, you wanted to make sure that they were ready.
Yes. So, yeah, I don't want to have to submit anything next Tuesday morning
Okay. So maybe for
when
the
they're not gonna, it's not gonna be done until Wednesday afternoon at the earliest. I just wanted to make sure it
Oh,
was
you're
done.
waiting for the next one.
Yes. Yeah, for the fast charters. There's going to be something else separate from the plan sustainability stuff that sort of I've already been sort of asked to provide additional information and feedback on for this week. So there were sort of.
So something will be included this week.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it just won't be in the sort of green highlighted sustainability section.
Seth, are we pumping out anything special to the landscapers and the leaf blowers so they know going into the season?
Yes. So I sent them out an email or mail and email. In December, I had one landscape contractor reach out to me about the rebate. I sent him the form. It's been a couple weeks. I haven't heard anything back, but if and when he does respond, send that back, and we've got sort of the.
The rebate if they volunteer early.
Yes. Yeah. And he had explained he had just swapped out all of his leaf blowers for battery operated ones and was planning to move forward and get the
Wonderful.
rebate.
Do you remember who it was? Was it one of the bigger ones or no?
No, it was like it seemed like they were a landscape architect slash landscape contractor, because I think the design was in their name, like he was like InDesign or something like that, was the company, but they were licensed with us. So yeah, that was the one I've got so far. Interested in that, I was going to send out another round of information directly to all of them, probably towards the end of March, to give them sort of 6 week notice.
Is there something when they renew? Because they renew every year, right?
Yes, yeah, that's the other thing, sort of working with our business licensing staff, of just getting that information out upon the time of their renewal. Same with restaurants, when they, like, if we get a new business license for a new restaurant, we'll share the styrofoam and single-use plastic ordinances with them at that time. So
So if they're, so that's going out to all of the registered ones. So there obviously are people operating in the village who aren't registered. So I don't know how you reach those people, but it seems like this could be a way, because isn't there a fine for operating without being registered as well?
correct.
So I don't know if there's a way to get this out there, but it seems like this is something that could alert somebody that, they're using a gas leaf blower. They haven't been informed because they're not registered, and so now they have a double fine for each of them. But again, I don't know how you reach the people who don't.
That's one of Bill, that's one of Mark Kelty's big complaints. He talks to me about that all the time, is that he drives around and sees all the unregistered ones out and about. So
Yeah, and typically with that, it would sort of be the same process. Our building and zoning inspector, if he, sees somebody who's not registered doing work, whether it's landscaping or construction of any sort, he will reach out to them. Sort of typically, I believe it starts with a, verbal warning of, you've been observed working here, you need to be licensed with the village. If this continues, further action will be taken, sort of thing. So there's been steps taken in the past, and I know other communities it's more sort of formal and codified, but and I've sort of gotten feedback from other communities on how they've enforced leaf blowers specifically with this regard. But yeah, I think it would just sort of be incorporated into that sort of enforcement process. And I've also provided the building ins zoning inspector sort of feedback, and connected him with Oak Park and how they do their enforcement for the leaf blower stuff, with citizen complaints, whether it's something observed by their staff and so forth. So I guess we'll have to see how it goes once the seasonal ban kicks in, but I think we've at least got a footing for that.
do you have any stats on the number of warnings or fines issued?
I had had some from some communities previously. I would need to.
No, I meant specifically in River Forest for, like, does it ever happen that these unregistered,
Oh yeah, yes.
it ha happens all the time?
Yeah, there's the, they would have to go to the sort of adjudication process. Yeah, there is a sort of existing process for any sort
Well,
of.
I wasn't asking if there was a process. I was saying that
Yeah, yes, it
it
happens.
happens.
Yes, it is something that regularly happens. Okay. Yeah, next meeting is exactly 1 month from today on March 10th. I don't know if anybody else has anything for.
I just wanted to put out there that anybody who wants a community garden spot, the sign up begins on February 23rd. They go very fast, usually by the end of the week.
So you don't think the village needs to send out anything? When you said that, I was like, maybe the village could send out
So
their
it's right now
okay.
it's pretty much run by the park district,
Yeah,
and
that's
they are including it in their correspondence.
okay,
It's supposed
cool.
to be a partnership, but along the way they kind of dropped us off, double the fee, keep it,
Okay.
even though the water comes from the village. I don't know if that's something that you want to pursue or not, but
I know you've raised this before, and I've sort of just had brief informal conversations with Jack and our staff about it. But yeah, I don't know if there's any sort of
okay. I also wanted to reach out this year. Every plot has to do an individual wiring, fencing, and it would be nice to have a temporary fence around the whole thing. So maybe I'll try that again this year. Put the money to some use.
We don't have anything else. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'm motion to adjourn at 8 p.m.
Second.
Co-Chair Charette,
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon,
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos,
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Yes.
We are adjourned at 8.